The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip under the reign of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysidius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Please be seated. John the Baptist knew his scripture. He knew his prophets. He remembered. I can actually think of him knowing at some time in his life that those words would lead him, that those words were given specifically to him. That was John the Baptist's turning point. This passage from Luke is the second time we hear about John. The other time was when Mary came to visit with his mother Elizabeth, her cousin. And John leaped for joy in Elizabeth's womb when Mary came near. Luke doesn't tell us anything else about John until this word of God came to him. But his parents knew that there would be some kind of special relationship. Because those angels, that angel that came to Mary, had shown up for John's father, Zechariah. You see, Zechariah had been somewhat skeptical that in his and Elizabeth's advanced age, that finally they were going to be given a child. So God made sure that he would spend those 9 months truly appreciating the truth of Elizabeth's pregnancy and took away Zechariah's voice. Now I want you to know that I had this sermon all finished. I was really trying to listen to that voice that came in the first week of before Advent 1 that said, "Take your time and prepare it well and do it early." But yesterday morning, I chose to listen to a podcast from NPR called Invisibilia. And it was a short, the first part of it was short. They called it a special edition to that week's podcast. And as I was getting ready for the day, I was listening. And this young woman, who is now 30-something, but was telling a story about when she was 28, started telling the story of one morning when she went about her day, as she always did, and went out to do some errands and was walking down the street, and suddenly she felt she knew she was ill or something was happening to her and she was getting weaker. And the next thing she knew, she woke up in the hospital. And apparently she collapsed there on the street, she said, and the ambulance was called, and she was brought to the hospital. But she didn't remember any of that. And she woke up in the hospital, and the nurse who was there asked her a question. And that's when she found out that she could not speak. There were only a jumble of noises that came out. She could not recover words. She could no longer speak the words that she'd spoken all of her life. And they kept her there for a little while, trying to figure out what was wrong. And finally they said, "There's really nothing physically wrong with you. You need to go home." Her whole life had turned around in that moment. And she went home to an apartment that she had left a full life. She could no longer call up her friends. She was able to get in touch with her mother. And in those next months, her mother actually moved in with her and stayed with her. And as this story went on, I realized, I have to rewrite this sermon. This story has to be there. Because her story mirrored Zechariah's story. And this song of Zechariah is one that speaks to all of us. So here this 28-year-old began a new life. Her boyfriend left her almost instantaneously. Her friends, who had busy lives, kind of disappeared. And she relied on her mother for almost everything. And because she was 28, and the sounds that she heard coming out of her mouth were not particularly beautiful, she stayed silent most of the time. Imagine that. And she started speech therapy to recover those words. And slowly but surely, she worked through finding those words. But one of the practices she did in private, actually in secret, even from her mother and father, was that at night, late at night, she would go into a small room where she would not disturb anybody. And she practiced saying, or trying to say, the words of a prayer that her father, who had immigrated here, said in his native language. And I'm really sorry, I meant to go back and listen to it again, but it was only yesterday and I haven't had a minute to do that. I can't remember the country he came from, but I heard her saying the prayer. And the words of the prayer and the rhythm of the language were beautiful. And hearing it in her voice was beautiful. Her voice that was recovered, because she was speaking on this podcast. And so she told about the story of going into that room, and she actually recorded herself trying to say those prayers, because she figured that if she could listen to herself each week, she would hear her progress. But she had never told anybody about it, let alone let anybody listen to those recordings. And in this time, this was where she actually allowed us all in to hear that first recording she made, to hear her struggle, to hear her confusion, to hear her despair in her voice, to hear the sounds garbled, and yet aching, longing to be those words that her father had taught her, of this prayer that even though she didn't know whether she was really good at prayer, she was 28, she wasn't sure, but those words somehow connected her to her dad and to something else, and she could say them fluently, having memorized them. And so she told a little bit more about her life. And then she said, in the eighth month, remember Zechariah was silent for nine. In the eighth month, she said, she knew she was getting stronger, and she recorded, in fact, she said it was the last time she recorded herself saying this prayer in secret in the dark of night. And she shared that on the podcast. And by this time, I was not moving. I was not getting ready. I was barely breathing. And what I heard was her start with that stumbling way of finding the words, and then they became clearer. They became clearer and clearer. And all of a sudden she stopped and she laughed. And in that moment, all the rest of the words that I heard were as clear as a bell. And her joy was unbelievable. And I just stood there and wept. And I'm not going to weep right now. I know how not to do this. When you hear it, and I hope some of you will go listen, that was her moment. That was her Zechariah moment of new birth. So we have this ancient story, and then we have this modern story of a young person. Her life was never the same, and you can hear it in her voice in the podcast. A wisdom beyond her years. I think she was like 32 or 33. I mean, this wasn't a long time ago for her. And this song of Zechariah was his first words after the birth of his son John, who became John the Baptist. So that was some 9-month Advent season for Zechariah, waiting and watching and listening, as it was for this young woman. And it gave root to his longing. It prepared the way for God to make his path straight. It prepared the way for the valleys to fill in all the places in his heart that did not believe, and bring his soul low enough that he could meet his son in a humble awe and thanksgiving, and yet express this amazing song of joy. Not just joy for his son's birth, but the whole and holy story. The bigger story that these two cousins would live into. And you can tell that Zechariah had come to believe something more in his silence. So listen again through the lens of this young woman and the lens of this dad to the words of his song. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. And through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies. Not just in that year, but this year. Save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and mothers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our lives. And then he looked down at his son, as God looks down at all of us today. And he said, "You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Deep shalom." What Zechariah discovered in his Advent time was wisdom and understanding that brought clarity and peace. Don't we all long for that? But it was his awareness of his deep longing that brought him to this turning point. And the lesson is clear. There is only one way out of the struggle, out of a crisis of faith, and that is by going into its darkness, waiting for the light, and being open to God's grateful guiding. Zechariah became a bearer of God's light, which he then transferred to his son. And it has been transferred generation to generation to generation to generation, and all those who are underneath us to that generation. So I offer this morning this blessing written by my friend Jan Richardson, to share in Zechariah's Advent light. Jan entitled this blessing, "Blessed are you, take this in, you who bear the light. Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar where in the deepest night can be seen the fire that shines forth in you, like it did in that young woman. In unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing it finds. Today is about finding those broken things that need our light. We are halfway to Christmas. We are at a threshold which is kind of a turning point. Just as Zechariah and Elizabeth were, just as Mary and Joseph, who are on their journey, were, just as the Magi and the shepherds were, feeling that call, that pull to something greater. What might we need to do in these coming weeks to prepare the way of the Lord, to make God's path straight? Maybe you're supposed to invite somebody to come to church with you on Christmas Eve or some other day. Maybe you're just supposed to show up for somebody else and listen. You can be silent. Just listen. I used to have a magnet on my refrigerator. I have no idea what happened to it, that said everybody needs a good listening to. To to make his path straight, to make sure that every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. Who is it that needs to be set free and saved from their enemies, from hate? Can we act as those prophets of old and prepare the way and shine on those who dwell in darkness in our time, in our lives, in our community? The answer is to be found, I think, in the last half of the last sentence in Zechariah's song. We simply have to let God guide our feet into the way of peace. A wise man, Frederick Buechner, in his book called Wishful Thinking, says that if you want to know who you really are, as distinct from who you like to think you are, keep an eye on where your feet take you. God, we ask you to guide our feet this week and help us to have the courage to shine our light in a new way, in a new place, and help us to stand beside those standing or walking in darkness in a way that they know we are there and they are not alone. Amen.